You're listening to the Grace Podcast. I'm Pastor Justin Spurlock. I'm so glad to have you listening to this service. If you are in need of grace, you have come to the right place. Today we start a new sermon series as we begin this season of Lent. It's called Full to the Brim. Full to the Brim. I find it to be a very interesting sermon series because generally in Lent we think about what we need to give up, not how are we going to fill ourselves. We think about hunger and famished as Luke text talks about, not about kind of gorging ourselves on the fullness of life. We talk about making space and making room, having a lack of, in order that Easter, that resurrection day, will have all of the room in the world to fill up this space. And in one sense, that's very true, and I don't want to take away from that sense. But on the other hand, and particularly in a text like this one today, I want you to consider that the things that you and I are filling our lives up with are not the things that God believes makes a full life, and that you and I actually experience in our lives don't make for a full and purposeful life. You and I are tempted in the same way that Jesus is here in Luke chapter 4. In fact, over and over and over again in our lives, we're given opportunity after opportunity to take rather than receive, to manipulate rather than to be molded, to be the kind of people who are going to, boom, here I am and it is mine, rather than going, how can I serve this world best? And we're put in these opportunities, these situations, to make these choices on the regular, aren't we? And each and every time we're given these choices, we are actually choosing what kind of life we will have, temporary or eternal, abundant or always wanting more. We can live a life that really is lusting and coveting for more and more things, or a life that is full of love, that is content with the abundance of what is. And that's what brings us always back to Jesus here in the wilderness being tempted, because it's the same experience you and I have. We are continually brought back to the desert, to the wilderness, to the wild places, to the places that have not been tamed in life, and given these situations again and again and again. And what we come out into the desert, into this wilderness to be tempted, is to realize this, that life is already full of God, full of grace, full of goodness, full of gratitude and generosity, if we so choose to see it that way. Jesus has been in the desert now for 40 days without food. He is famished. He is starving, literally starving. His body has gone into that place where it will literally scavenge itself in order to stay alive. I want you to think about that. 40 days. We know medically that his body is literally eating away at itself by this point. And so to be offered the opportunity to have food. And notice here in this first temptation, there's nothing else required, right? Just simply prove yourself. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ turning a stone into bread, is there? This temptation, this test here by the devil in the wilderness is not one that has some sort of stipulation, like you have to worship me in order to get that bread. He's just saying, hey, if you're really the Son of God, show us. do something that will actually not only be miraculous, but actually help you out, Jesus, right now. And Jesus says this phrase, you shall not live by bread alone. You shall not live by bread alone. Friends, I want you to think about that phrase because most of our lives have been spent consuming and also storing up bread for ourselves. We usually call that bread money today, right? And literally, we use bread as slang term for money often, right? The breadwinner, right? We know that phrase. Yeah. Right there, you shall not live by bread, by possessions, by money, by the stuff that you think that helps you to survive and even thrive in life. That's not what life is about. And Jesus knows it. And Jesus is going, yeah, this could literally save my life right now, performing this miracle right now. But that's not what life's about. And it would be a temporary magical moment that is fleeting and doesn't bring me purpose, doesn't allow me to live out my purpose, and ultimately doesn't bring me joy. That God is actually doing something more incredible in me here in the wilderness, here in this desert. So I will not use my power to make that happen. Instead, I want to use my power to make that which is significant and purposeful happen. Truly being the Son of God who gives his life on behalf of all humanity. Second, devil comes and goes, well, okay, I get that, but what if you could have it all? All of the kingdoms. All of the stuff, all the authority, all of the power, everything right here, right now, that you wouldn't have to go through what you and I both know you're going to have to go through in order to get all of that. That you won't have to sit back and watch humanity kind of mess it all up and not really come around to you over and over and over and over again. But instead, you could have all of it. Right here, right now, if you'll just worship me. I'll give you everything I have if you put me above you. Ah, what a gamble. What a gambit, right? Friends, this whole thing of who God is and what life is about and that you can have the whole thing. If you give it all away, literally, if you choose to step away from what your actual mission and purpose in life is, if you step away from your calling, if you step away from your actual identity, if you are the Son of God, how can you then actually give away that authority by worshiping someone who's not? Friends, over and over again in our lives, we are asked to step away from who we truly are, who God has made you and me to be, what our purpose in life is, the way that we can actually glorify God in ourselves, through ourselves. We're asked to step away from that, to these lesser things or these fast tracks to things that ultimately end up being a sellout of who we actually were meant to be. And so we're asked to not sell out, but to realize we are exactly who we are, who God has made us to be, even here in the wilderness, in the desert. That it's not about the situation that we're in. It's not about the circumstance that we're in that defines us. No, we are defined by God, by the divine. Not by our situation, and not whether we look around and wonder if we're in control or not. Ah, we are God's. We belong to God. Next, fine then, the devil essentially says, how about I place you up here on this pinnacle of the temple where your life is literally at stake, where you might actually die unless you call upon the angels. And now the devil even goes a step further and quotes two scripture texts, not just one, but two. Goes from none at all to, you know what, Jesus, you've been throwing these scripture texts at me. How about I do you one as well? And throws the two texts out there like, ha, you've been quoting the Bible? Let me quote the Bible. That Bible says, hey, if you were to fall, the angels were literally grab a hold of you, up from under you, and keep you from even getting a scratch on your foot. So the devil literally endangers Jesus' life. And that temptation of, if I don't do this, then the whole reason for me being here is all lost. Think about how many times in our lives we are put in these moments where we think that it's a lose-lose situation. If I don't make the compromise, then I lose entirely. And what Jesus does here is remembers the fact that we are not putting God to the test. God can't be tested. God is sovereign, in fact. And so if Jesus were to fall from that pinnacle in the temple and die, it's to trust that God's will still be done, that God's purpose will still be fulfilled, that my purpose for being here on this planet is still wrapped up in this larger sovereignty, power, will, and kingdom of God. And so if that were to happen, I don't need the angels to come and save me. God's still getting done what God intended to get done with or without me. Do you hear that, friends? And so often in life, we find ourselves on our knees praying to Almighty God that God would literally change the fabric of space-time and the way that it works so that some God-awful thing won't happen. And what we are implored to understand is that God's will and way is always at work, no matter what. What we need is to trust in God, not a miracle, not magic, not a genie, not a God who snaps some fingers and all of a sudden the world's all right again and we're not in the desert, we're not in the wilderness, we're not falling from the pinnacle of the temple. Instead, everything's just all right. Because friends, the truth of it is, you and I don't realize our purpose until we are standing on the pinnacle of the temple in a life or death situation and remember that God could do this without us. That ultimately, even as the Son of God, if I fall from this temple pinnacle and die, God's still going to get it done. Friends, my hope is that in this season of Lent, that you will see how these temptations present themselves to you and me all these times in our lives, in all these various situations, and that you and I will choose the path of Jesus Christ. That you and I will choose to look at the devil and go, I will not put the Lord God to the test. I will not live by bread alone. No, I will worship God and God alone. For in God, I find my identity, my purpose, my mission, the reason why I'm here. And when I do that, I am full to the brim.